What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Sons of Legends. It's your boy Art Rob here with your homeboy MJ Dutta.
What do you say out the door, ladies and gentlemen?
And you already know we here to talk about this wrestling business, baby. To get cracking the way we do every single week here on the Sons of Legends, talking about the things that happen in the wrestling business. And you know, it's been a lot going on this week. It's been the draft.
Yeah, we got the majority of what's been going on tonight.
NXT 2.0. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot to talk about when it comes to all of these things. And once again, thanks Sam Stay for the intro music all day long. You know what I'm saying? And I guess we're going to jump right into this thing. You know what I mean? We're going to jump right in. I want to start off talking about NXT 2.0 because it's a whole new wave. They're introducing a whole lot really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I have a couple of things to get off my chest about it. How do you feel about 2.0?
At the moment, I'm not really the biggest fan. It's because I think I've said this on the show earlier before. It's like they're trying to take an entire new wave of people and put them all out front at the same time. And I'm just having trouble connecting with some of these new guys. You know, I'm not really familiar with them. Don't really care to get to know them, really, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, yeah, there are some guys that you're keeping my eyes on, but for the majority of them, you know, it's just me trying to remember who they are.
Okay,
and
so
what
let's
they're doing.
Let's start with one of the biggest upstarts that they have in NXT, Bron Breakker.
Yeah, they're pushing this guy pretty hard.
They're pushing him pretty much to the moon. Like immediately, he beat one of the top guys in LA Knight on his first match there.
Wasn't really a big fan of that move, considering LA Knight was in the championship match that night.
But so he took two losses that night.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the Steiner's nephew. That's Rick Steiner's son, Scott mm-hmm. Steiner's nephew.
He sounds a lot like Scott, in my opinion. Like, I close my eyes okay. and I swear I'm hearing Scott Steiner.
Now, here's my biggest problem. Now, WWE had this whole huge gripe with Scott Steiner, but I can swear to God that this guy is a complete, actual ripoff of everything Scott Steiner does.
I mean, he sounds a lot like him.
He sounds like him. He walks like him. His catchphrases are like him. The guy even has the sirens to start off his entrance music. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to mention Scott Steiner at all.
I mean, that's probably why he's not going by Steiner.
Yeah, you know? But at the same, we know who he is. But his name wasn't Steiner to begin with.
Yeah.
It was like Bron Rexen or something.
I think he was Steiner, and then they changed it, like, maybe for, like, a week or so. It was something Steiner, and then they changed it.
Not that I can remember.
I can swear I heard people talking about that, like, how he was Steiner, and then they changed his name.
No, not that I don't, he could have been, but not as he was entering WWE, not as he was in WWE. Okay. And there are a lot of guys who are, yeah, like you said, there are guys who are just kind of popping up out of nowhere, and we have to get used to them.
And kind of wrap our heads around these new people.
And there are a lot of people that are getting the spotlight really fast, like the Joe Gacy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm interested in a lot of these guys. I'm interested in Briggs and Jensen.
Yeah. I'm not saying any of them are, you know, bad or anything. It's just, you know, trying to connect with a whole different audience. I mean, with a whole different roster. It's kind of tough, especially all at once. You know, I have troubles watching NXT 2.0 for that reason.
Right. I mean, they're leaving us a couple of gems that we're used to with the Tommaso Ciampas, the Johnny Garganos.
Yeah, don't even get me started on the people that have already been there because they go straight to the bottom.
I mean, Ember Moon, I think she's won one match since she's been back from injury.
Yeah.
Not counting her tag team run with Shotzi Blackheart, which they're splitting up all the tag teams.
Don't even get me started. We'll be here all night.
Well, we're going to get into that a little later on.
But anyway, I meet people like LA Knight, the first night of NXT 2.0, completely down the ladder. People like Kyle O'Reilly gets moved out so one of the new guys can move in to the Fatal 4-Way.
Well, he did this week. LA Knight did get a win over Odyssey Jones, mm-hmm. which people are pretty big on Odyssey yeah. Jones.
I like Odyssey Jones. He's pretty cool.
And LA Knight got a win over him thanks to Andre Chase, who's like the new Dean. What was Dean Douglas? He's the new Dean Douglas. I mean, I feel like a lot of these gimmicks are being redone. Like, Jensen and Briggs are the new Acolytes. They're the new bar fighters, the APA. You know what I mean? I feel like, Andre Chase is the new Dean Douglas. I feel like Joe Gacy is like the new version of the therapist Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to reuse gimmicks on newer people and try to make them feel new. But to me, it feels like a knockoff. Bron Breakker is the new Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They got... I believe that when Joe Gacy won his match, when he looked in the stands, I believe that was Parker Bordeaux standing there.
See, I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, Parker Bordeaux is being written about basically as the new Brock Lesnar. Like, he's this huge wrestling guy who's like 6'6", 275, like jacked, like cornbread fed. Old country boy, like, he's huge. And people are already talking about him, and I haven't even seen him wrestle yet. And I know his name. Like, I know his name. It was kind of like how I was with Bianca Belair. I never saw her wrestle, but I knew what she's done in Performance Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Parker Bordeaux is like that. He's like the guy who's in the combine tearing it up. And everybody's talking about him, but we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, I get you. It's like I said, though. It's kind of hard for me to watch because, you know, it's all these new people. It's different, man. I don't like change very much.
I see that. So how do you feel about the Toxic Attraction?
Now, this group I can actually get behind. You know, I'm enjoying, their work in the women's division. You know, Mandy Rose seems to be coming into her own, and she's got apprentices, as they say.
Apprentice, yeah. Yeah. She's got Gigi Dillon and JC Jane.
I can get behind this. And, you know, Mandy might get the title down there in NXT.
I tell you what, the internet's a bunch of pervs, dog. Yeah. They love Gigi Dillon already.
That's a lot of the things that I see about her, unfortunately.
They love Gigi Dillon already. Gigi Dolan, I'm sorry. I keep calling her Dillon.
Where society would grow up a little bit.
We can't help it. She's got the fatty, bro. That's all they talk about on the internet. That's all they talk about. Mandy, you have been replaced as eye candy.
Shameful.
Shameful. Really just shame. But I tell you what. I'm glad WWE took my advice, dog. They changed Mandy Rose, turned her heel, took the bicycle knee, made it her finisher, and gave her some a faction to run. I felt like with her and Sonya Deville, it was just them.
Mm-hmm.
And when they broke them up, I felt like Mandy needed something to kind of get her to the next level, to make her seem like she was ready for a title. And months ago, I was like, just give her somebody to run with. Give her two new people to make her seem like the veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And WWE took everything I said into consideration.
No, they're not listening.
They are.
They're not.
Just
dog.
Face the facts, dog. They're taking all my ideas, and they're good ones.
God, you're so high on yourself,
man. I'm glad that they did it.
Jeez.
The bicycle knee looks awesome as a finisher.
Yeah, it did. That bicycle knee this week, that thing looked pretty mean.
I mean, she's been using it. She's been using it for a minute, ever since her feud with Sonya Deville. You know, the leave or cut hair or whatever. Yeah. She's been using it as a finish since then. I'm glad she got rid of the implant buster because I feel like she's too small to use it. But that running knee is one that you could do on anybody, anywhere, at any time.
It looked nasty this week on Ember Moon. Just bang!
Well, Ember's a great seller. Ember's a great seller, too. Yeah. That's why I hate that she's getting done the way that she's getting done. Because to me, she hasn't even been given the credit that she deserves for as long as she's been there. Because she's been out for a year with that ankle injury.
I'm so upset they wouldn't let her beat Asuka. That's what I'm upset about. Because that would have put her right on the map. Directly on the map. They had an opportunity. She's leaving. Why can't they run with it?
I don't know. And we haven't seen Asuka in forever either.
Yeah, I don't know where she is. I don't think she got drafted this week.
Okay, and another thing that happened is MSK, and they defended their tag titles in a Fatal 4-Way, and they actually got the win, but they got attacked by Imperium at the end.
Yeah.
And the last team in there was Briggs and Jensen. And, I mean, I like these guys.
Yeah, I like them as a tag team. They're a pretty cool team. I enjoy their work and everything.
I couldn't imagine them solo, you know, but I feel like they're going to get lost in the shuffle if they don't do something to stand out. Because the flannel trucker look, the jean, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's been done so many times. This exact same tag team with Heavy Machinery and, what is it? Cade and Murdoch.
Yeah, Cade and Murdoch.
You know, like, we've had with the Revival when they first came, this is how they saw them.
Well,
like,
art is pretty difficult to be original these days. Everything's been done before.
No, I just feel like they have to do something to make themselves stand out, because if they don't, they will get lost in the shuffle along with, or broken up with, every other tag team. WWE has this thing where if you're not... if you don't stand out, you will get lost in the shuffle. And we know this all too well.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do.
But, I mean, what's with the crowd booing MSK all of a sudden?
I don't get this, man. I don't understand this. What's their beef with them? I don't get it. They're a quality tag team. They're pretty entertaining on the microphone. They're very entertaining in the ring. Like, they should be right up at the NXT audience alley. I don't understand this.
I don't get this one at all. I don't understand this one at all. I mean, MSK is everything that NXT really stands for.
Exactly.
They're young, vibrant, high-flying, exciting. They talk like we do. You know what I mean? So, this one I really don't get, but... I mean, NXT has been like that for a minute. They have been booing, like, Raquel Gonzalez. They have been booing MSK. They've been, like...
they booed Karrion Kross before he left.
Like, it's weird. It's weird. Like, there's this change that's happening that I can't even see happening. I mean, I'm seeing it happening, but I don't understand it.
I mean, you see with the change with the product, and I guess that change with the product is going to bring on a different change with the audience as well, because I don't see the same diehard NXT fans that were getting into what NXT is becoming now. Like, they're going to lose some people.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Like, at first, like, we don't see the Izzy's. Like, we started to recognize fans when they were always in Florida.
No, I mean, what I mean is...
when they were at the Performance Center, like, the fans were really diehard to the point where we started to get to know who they were, too.
What I mean is, NXT had a certain style. And that style drew a certain fan base. And that fan base had been with them since the beginning. And now that the direction is changing, I don't think that same fan base is going to be there as well. You know, they're going to start losing those diehard people who enjoy the wrestling. And, you know, they enjoy the five-star matches. And they like this and they like that. And they're not getting that right now.
Oh, so you feel like the pro wrestling fan is being replaced by the sports entertainment fan.
Pretty much.
Because NXT had become the place for professional wrestling.
In WWE, yeah, they were.
Like, and now if you want to see, like, professional wrestling, you have to watch, like, the B shows, like Main Event and 205 Live and NXT UK.
Yeah.
Things like that. Not the, because what they're putting in the forefront is sports entertainment. Let's not even get it twisted.
Like, they're being main rosterified.
Oh, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the main roster in the draft. I mean, we're going to pull up the list just so we can get it correct and make sure that we have everybody scouted on what shows. And we're going to talk about the ones that we are most excited about and the ones we're least excited about before we get into the things that happened on the show.
Okay.
All right. So, in my opinion, my most exciting draft pick so far has been Shayna Baszler to SmackDown.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I feel like this is going to be a reemergence of a career for Shayna Baszler. Like,
now, this could be a great thing, or it could be a terrible thing. Because, one, Shayna was just starting to get that push on Raw. Mm-hmm. We were 2 weeks in to her taking people out. She took out Nia Jax. She took out Eva Marie, and we were getting right into the old Shayna Baszler. And now she's getting moved to SmackDown. So that worries me that it's a start-stop push.
I feel like it'll keep going on SmackDown. Like, SmackDown's women's division has definitely been improved tenfold with this draft. Like, they moved some things around, but the things that they gained is just
top-notch. Because
top-notch.
SmackDown just became the A-show.
Here we go.
Because
don't start.
They got the queen.
Oh, my God.
The opportunity is back on the blue brand.
Please.
The one thing that Gunnar gets out of this is that he doesn't have to hear me and Corey Graves at the same time.
Shut up.
But he still has to hear me on Friday nights singing praises to the queen.
Unfortunately and undeservingly,
she is the best.
Shut up.
And I cannot wait to see what she does on SmackDown, but I'm worried that Shayna Baszler is coming because Charlotte Flair pretty much doesn't have an opponent.
She's coming. Like you said it, we're getting a glimpse of a new, of the old Shayna Baszler, and I'm absolutely loving it. They have a Queen of the Ring tournament coming up, and that is my first round pick to win this thing. That's my pick. I pick Shayna Baszler.
Yeah, Queen of Spades, Queen of the Ring just has a nice ring to it, but so does Queen Flair.
Oh, shut up. She does not need this.
If
Shayna Baszler does.
Queen of the Ring, it is only right.
No, it's not only right.
That the queen
is not the first queen of the ring. No.
It's only right. It's only fitting.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
I mean, Gunner.
No.
You can keep saying that, but you know that's annoying to the microphone. Just saying no.
Well.
Ain't no well, bro. I mean, I'm telling you, you might as well get ready.
But anyway, like I said, you know, SmackDown, they got a few workhorses over there. You know, they kept Natalya, and they got Shayna Baszler, and they're keeping Sasha Banks. And unfortunately, they also got Charlotte Flair.
Yes, they did.
And they got Toni Storm.
Yes,
you know,
there's
a lot of really good workhorse talent right now in SmackDown's women's division.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying
it. Raw kind of got the short end of the stick when it came to the women's division. I mean, Corey Graves is excited that they got Carmella.
Wonder why.
They got Nikki Ash, they got
the tag champs.
They did get, however, Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks is on SmackDown.
Oh, she got, I mean,
Bianca Belair.
Yeah, Bianca Belair.
Yeah, she moved to Raw. Becky moved to Raw. No, they definitely have their diamonds over there as well.
I don't know about this one, though. I mean, them moving Bianca and Becky and then still having the match saying that the draft doesn't take
effect. Don't get me started.
Matt, when are you going to get started? We're doing a podcast, right, for God's sake.
I guess we're going to get started. I don't understand this, okay? Why on earth, if the draft does not take effect until after Crown Jewel, why do we have to do it now? Why?
It kind of
makes zero sense at all.
You know what it does? It suspends the belief of the storylines that are happening right now.
It confuses the storylines that are happening right now.
No, it suspends, like, the belief that any of the belts are going to really... I mean,
a couple... Okay, so you say that. Okay, so you remember what happened last year when the Street Profits moved to SmackDown and the New Day moved to Raw and they switched?
Yeah.
And then they switched and then Charlotte Flair's moved to SmackDown and Becky Lynch moved to Raw. So how are they going to switch if Becky's defending the title at Crown Jewel? Like, this does not make any sense to me. Apparently, they're not going to switch, which means a certain person's going to be titleless. So, I don't know.
A bunch of people are going to be titleless if no one's going to switch. Because all the champions are moved to separate shows except Roman Reigns.
It's just those two. Everybody else got their Big champions. Everybody else got their champions. The United States title stays on Raw. The Intercontinental title stays on SmackDown. Raw got their tag team champions. SmackDown got their tag team champions. Why do they do this? Like, this confuses the hell out of me. I don't understand it.
I don't either. But Alexa Bliss is on Raw.
Yeah, Alexa Bliss is on Raw.
So I get to see Becky and Alexa possibly. I'd like to see that dynamic happen, even though we haven't seen Alexa since the pay-per-view.
I think I read somewhere that she's taking a little bit of time off.
She deserves it.
And she might come back as the old Alexa Bliss. Which I would prefer, to be honest with you.
I think they can. I mean, since Lily's gone.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and make it the old Alexa Bliss again.
No, since Lily's gone, I'm kind of interested in what she can do with this character. The doll was the only thing that we had a problem with.
I miss the old Alexa Bliss. Sorry, it's not working without the Fiend, man. It's just not. I'm sorry.
Well, they already sucked them dry for everything he had.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, Goldberg and Bobby Lashley. Do you have anything nice to say about wrestling this week?
Well, what do you want from me, Art?
An answer.
You can't expect me to have something nice to say about Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley, Art. You just can't do it. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm not looking forward to this.
You know what bothers me? Why does Goldberg keep twitching his face and the camera always zooms in on it?
I don't know. I don't know why they do half the things that they do.
He drops to his knees and thanks Bobby Lashley for having a no-holds-barred, asking for no-holds-barred.
Okay,
and then he gets to annihilate Cedric and Shelton like they aren't good wrestlers.
This is the positive factor of this. At least it's going to be a fight and not a wrestling match. Okay, I can find positivity there.
Okay, well, last time it wasn't that much of a wrestling match.
I mean, they still did the holds and everything.
Considering the fact that Bobby Lashley pretty much annihilated Goldberg all over the place. And the ref stopped it because he couldn't get up.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it wasn't too hold barred the first time. If he kept ramming him into the steel post. Yeah. I mean, I hope this isn't their way of trying to introduce Gage into the wrestling business.
I mean, it could be.
Against Bobby Lashley is not a great look.
Yeah, that's true, though. I'm not really wanting to say I'm looking forward to that either.
You know what I mean? Bobby is going to kill that guy. And then he's going to start off under the bottom of the barrel.
All right. So, another thing that happened with the draft this week is they moved up a couple of NXT superstars. SmackDown got Xia Li. And they got Ridge Holland on SmackDown.
Now, Ridge Holland is somebody to look out for.
They got Aaliyah on SmackDown.
That's a jobber for them.
Austin Theory got Raw.
Austin Theory had an interesting debut.
I'm glad that they did it this way. I am.
I really like the concept of this character. A fanboy who attacks people.
That's just the way they brought him in. Like,
I would love if they would keep that going.
Why?
Because it's like a heel version of Bayley.
You're grasping for straws.
I think, what type of saying is that?
Like, you're just trying to make something that's not there, Art. I mean, this was a way to introduce the new Austin Theory. Like, don't you think eventually people would see it coming? You know, people would eventually see, when they see Austin Theory coming with a cell phone, they know to get the hell out of there, Art.
Think of how egotistical people are over being complimented and fanboy-overed.
Art, people would eventually see him coming.
I mean, you're the greatest. You're the greatest person I've ever seen in the ring. I modeled myself after you.
Stay the hell away from me, kid. I've seen what you do to everybody else.
But it's not the same thing.
It would be the same thing, Art.
I don't think you see what I'm seeing.
You're trying to make something that's not there.
I don't think you see what I'm seeing.
Okay.
I don't think you see, like, the mold of what I'm seeing. Like, and he attacked Jeff Hardy, and he can still praise him come next week. And still say, can you believe I got to hit a move on Jeff Hardy?
All right, this is one of them stinkers, man. You got a lot of good ideas
I think that this could work, and I don't think that you're seeing what I'm seeing. But you hated everything, though. You still hate the queen.
I'm seeing what you're seeing, and it's not going to work.
You still hate the queen, and she's the greatest. In the ring and everywhere, and you still hate her.
Another interesting thing that happened was Hit Row getting moved up to SmackDown. How do you feel about this?
Not looking forward to this.
Why not?
Because WWE has a way of ruining good things.
Especially on the main roster.
I just don't see a vision for them as a group on SmackDown with the waters that are on SmackDown. Roman Reigns and the Usos are going to run SmackDown for a while. Who's going to contend with them?
I can't think of anybody.
Is it going to be Top Dollar? Because it ain't going to be Swerve.
I doubt it.
It ain't going to be Adrian.
I can see Swerve having a little bit of run at Nakamura right now. Maybe getting a shot at the Intercontinental title.
Now, that's more plausible.
You know?
Rick Boogs and Rock and Roll against Swerve and Hip Hop. And I can see
Top Dollar and Ashanti the Adonis being a force in the tag team division.
When you come after the Bloodline, you come after Roman Reigns. Who's coming after Roman?
It's not like they're outnumbered or something. You know, this is a pretty even playing field, and they have an extra person.
Roman Reigns counts as two people.
Anyway, like I said,
I'm telling you.
What, are they just going to hold him forever then, Art? No challengers at all? The Usos are just going to hold him forever?
Oh, they're going to have challengers, but that's why I don't want it to be Hit Row.
I can see Top Dollar and Ashanti the Adonis giving them a run for their money.
No, sir. The Usos.
You're being biased right now.
No, Arch. I'm just telling you that the Usos is on a different playing field right now than everybody else. The Bloodline, period, is on a different playing field than everybody else.
I understand.
In order to come at them, you have to have someone on Roman Reigns' level with the help backing you up.
Yeah, I understand that.
And who's got that?
None of them. I understand,
Arch. None of them. Swerve ain't on that level yet to go after the Universal title. And wouldn't nobody even see him on that level?
And one of the things that really kind of annoy me about this draft pick is Swerve is still the North American champion.
So...
okay, so I've been looking forward to Swerve in Santos for the North American title.
We're gonna get it.
And we're gonna get it next week.
But him,
I wonder what might happen.
But him moving up automatically says that he's gonna lose. And we don't like thinking that he's gonna lose because he's moving up.
And that's the thing. Like I said, question.
What if he actually does win?
What sense would that make, Art? If he's moving up to SmackDown, why would he hold on to the title?
Asuka held on to the title and relinquished it.
Why won't they just put it on Escobar now?
Why Escobar couldn't win it off of Bronson Reed.
I don't understand why.
I think that Legado should have won the match where they put all the titles up on the line when it was Bronson Reed and MSK against Legado for the North American and tag team titles.
I mean, I've been looking forward to Santos Escobar getting his hands on this title for quite a while. Don't get me wrong there.
And Swerve hasn't defended it once.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I'm not even going to get into that. How Swerve...
You're not going to get into anything, are you, on this podcast? You're not going to get started. You're not going to get into it. You're not going to get on
what
that.
What do you want from me, Art? What do you want from me?
A podcast.
I'm trying. But anyway, like I said, I try to avoid the things that will get me all revved up here.
But everything is revving you up.
Well, these things make me upset. Okay? I wish that Swerve would have had a better run as North American champion. You know, I don't even think he's competed in one singles match since winning the title.
He's done a cypher.
Yeah, he's done the cypher. Y'all saw him do the cypher. The cypher was great.
And he's done promos.
But this has been a pretty, I hate to say it, I really do. This has been a pretty lackluster run as North American champion.
And I was really excited.
Me too. Like, I was damn excited to see Swerve as North American champion to hold the title, to defend the title.
No, I feel like that they just gave him the title in order to get Hit Row over, and that was it. All it did is give him promo time.
They didn't really need the title to get Hit Row over.
I don't think they did either.
Just having the title as a prop isn't going to help them.
All it does is give them eyes and give them credibility by saying, I'm North American.
I mean,
champion.
It doesn't even really give them that much credibility, though, because, like I just said, it's a prop right now.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of the matches that we've had for the North American title, the great matches.
Like,
that
this is
had.
The workhorse
this
title
is the
right
workhorse
now.
Workhorse title.
Well,
like,
it should be.
This is like the stepping stone title. Guys like Adam Cole and Ricochet and Johnny Gargano, you know what I'm saying? They've had, like, these great matches. And Swerve hasn't been able to showcase not one single time.
I don't know. Maybe it's something that we're not hearing or they're not telling us. Because I highly doubt that he's just not having singles matches because he doesn't want to. Like, I don't think there's a reason for this.
I don't know, but... like, we haven't really seen Swerve in the ring that much.
Yeah,
maybe he's injured.
Yeah, maybe there's a nagging injury on him or something. Cause I gotta hope and pray that there's a reason for this.
And then them getting moved to SmackDown, immediately jumped to almost jobber status because they're the new guys on the block. They got to come in and make a statement immediately. I'd like to see them personally come in and immediately take out, like, the Viking Raiders.
I can see that.
That's a big, bad tag team that's known and have a great reputation and it could be like a great starter feud for Adrian and Top Dollar to get them right off the ground.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Viking Raiders would, you know, lose any steam because they don't have any right now.
Yeah. Another thing that people are talking about with the draft is this Gable Stevenson guy.
The Olympic gold medalist.
The Olympic gold medalist.
You remember the last Olympic gold medalist we had, baby? I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
I got to say myself, man, if the last gold medalist is any indication of what we got on our hands.
You see, don't put that kind of pressure on him already.
I'm just saying. I see some German suplexes coming, baby. Let's go.
And people have been talking about this guy because he's moving straight from...
the Performance Center.
I mean, he's not going through NXT, is what they're saying.
No, straight to from the Performance Center straight to Raw. So he's, somebody sees something in him.
And I don't really think that it's really a bad move. I mean, obviously the guy's familiar with wrestling and everything.
I'm saying
he's an Olympic gold medalist for crying out loud.
Not everybody has to go through NXT. Yeah. There are some people who don't even touch down in NXT.
Man, that'd be AJ and the Good Brothers. They didn't.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Certain people either have a name, a reputation, or a skill set that they can jump straight to the main roster. Maybe people believe in them.
Yeah, and as long as he's trained as a pro wrestler, then I don't see the problem.
I don't even know if you have to be. I think you just have to, like, what Sean said, he was like, in my first match, like, I was on TV, and they just said, just listen. Just go out there and listen.
So Sean didn't have any background in pro wrestling before that?
No. He lied. He lied like most people did in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Well, this is in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
To get on, they just lied. They just lied and was like, yeah, I know how to do it. Even in the 90s, remember Mass Transit almost got killed because he lied. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I've done this before.
Well, I would hope that they put him through the Performance Center and he would know what he's doing inside of a pro wrestling ring.
You're going to learn as you go along and with his credentials, like, he can really fight. So I don't think anybody's going to try him.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the amateur wrestling does help a lot.
I mean, this dude is huge.
Mm.
He's fast. Like, I mean, I'm excited about him.
And another thing that happened with the draft that I'm kind of excited for is a Ricochet moving from Raw to SmackDown.
I pray to God this is good for him, man. Ricochet is the most athletic, talented wrestler they have on the roster. And I'm not even joking. On the roster, and he's being so underutilized, it's not even funny.
I gotta think so. Like, SmackDown's always been the place for the workhorses.
I'm gonna tell you one match I am super excited for with Ricochet moving to SmackDown.
What match?
Ricochet versus Cesaro. I cannot
stand
the excitement I have.
That should be a good one. But yeah, like I said, SmackDown's always been the place for the workhorses and for people who, you know, do most of their talking in the ring. You know, and I hope that should be a good change of scenery for them.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. One that I'm not excited about is Finn Balor to Raw.
Yeah, like I just said, SmackDown's really more of the workhorse show, and Balor, he was doing pretty well over there.
I think he was. I think him being able to come out and be like, I'm not waiting in line type thing, and give me a shot at the title immediately, and I got the reputation. On Raw, I don't know if it's going to go that way.
I don't think so either. Like,
Raw doesn't even have its own title in the main event half the time.
We've seen Balor on Raw in the past, and I was not a fan of that Finn Balor.
Oh, man. Let's not even go to the point where he started getting jobbed out by The Fiend and stuff.
Let's not. But yeah. Man, I don't think this move is
I don't think that this is going to help him at all, personally.
And
I'm not excited about that.
And another thing... that really grinds my gears. There's a lot of things have been grinding my gears tonight, but this especially. They break up so many flipping tag teams with this draft.
All right, let's call them out. How many do they break up this year?
At least four of them, I'm counting. They broke up the T-Bar and Mace. They're going to different shows. They split up Jinder Mahal, Veer, and Shanky.
Yeah, Shanky's gone.
Jinder and I think it's Shanky. They're going to SmackDown, and Veer staying on Raw. They split up Natty and Tamina. They split up Tegan and Shotzi.
And they just got together.
Like, they... I know I've said...
4 weeks, I think?
I know I've said they've obliterated their women's tag team division before, but it's definitely got to be now. I mean, I can't think of one women's tag team on the main roster now except for Super Brutality.
Is that really what they're calling them?
I think that's what they're calling them. Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley.
It should be almost a nightmare.
I don't understand this.
Nightmare.
I don't understand this. Man.
And who are they actually going against?
Now, nobody. You know, they weren't going against Natty and Tamina. I wasn't a really big fan of this feud, but they were going after the tag titles. And now I can't think of one women's tag team on the roster other than that.
And what's crazy is, didn't they just pretty much get challenged by Shotzi and Knox coming out? I mean, Knox, yeah. Shotzi and Knox coming out and shooting the missile at them?
Yeah, they did. I guess that's all down the drain.
Well, I guess since it doesn't take place until after Crown Jewel, they've got time.
Oh, wow, 3 whole weeks.
they got time.
They're
still a tag team.
They're up my soul the way they do tag teams in WWE. They really do.
They're still a tag team for 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And then they moved the New Day to SmackDown. And left Big E on Raw.
They did it to him again. After we get used to seeing them on the same show again, they do it to us again.
They did it again.
They did it again. Like, they just flip-flopping them, man. One of the things I want to talk about now is how people get moved around quick. People get moved around frequently during this draft. The New Day moved from SmackDown to Raw last year, and now they move from Raw to SmackDown this year. The Street Profits moved from Raw to SmackDown last year, and now they move from SmackDown to Raw this year. Rollins moved from Raw to SmackDown last year, and now they move them from SmackDown to Raw this year. The Dirty Dogs, they do it all the time, man. It's like, do you remember them games we used to, them WWE games, the seasons mode? You know, you're on SmackDown for one season, you finish the season, and then you got the opportunity to move to Raw. That's what they're doing right now, it feels like. They got season mode going on, man.
I feel like a lot of people are being moved based on who they're married to or dating.
I can understand that reason.
That is throwing me for a loop a little bit because it kind of already makes me know where people are going. When I saw that Becky was going to Raw, I knew immediately Seth was going to Raw. When I saw the Usos were staying on SmackDown, I knew immediately Naomi wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, whoever they're dating, if the significant other is drafted
is probably,
first, yeah.
Mary's probably the biggest.
Well, Carmella's on Raw with Corey Graves.
This is the first time Carmella's been on Raw in her entire career, though.
Well, they had to do something with her.
She's been on SmackDown her whole career.
She's been jobbing for the last year. She's changed personas and still got jobbed out.
Well, like I said, this is actually a big move because, like I said, Carmella's been on SmackDown her entire career. We never seen Carmella on Raw.
But except when she was with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah. She wasn't even on Raw then. Enzo and Cass came to Raw. She stayed in NXT.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyway, I miss the way they did it back in the day. SmackDown's got its brand, Raw's got its brand, and then they pick numbers. I mean, then they pick people. Not everybody gets put into some big draft pool, and then you just get thrown in different directions.
I hate the fact that you have to redraft somebody that's already on your show.
That's what I'm saying. You know, SmackDown's got its roster, Raw's got its roster, and then you pick somebody from Raw to go to SmackDown, and vice versa. You know, the way they did it back in the day. Not everybody gets put in some big draft pool, and then you just draft everybody.
Because I don't see why the champions have to be drafted to separate shows. I think that anybody that holds a championship on that show,
you should stay on that show.
Stay on that show.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, I guess they do it for the shock factor. Like, oh my goodness, the Raw Tag Team Champions moving to SmackDown. I wonder what's going to happen then. And then they just moved the SmackDown Champions to Raw, so they just switched belts. So that's not even the shock factor anymore.
I don't know. This draft is, I think they need to stop it. I think it's gotten to the point where, at this point, it's so cliche and played out, they need to either do something different or just get rid of the draft altogether.
I like the draft. I just wish they wouldn't draft everybody.
Why do that? I mean, and then, like, there are a lot of people who are being left out and not mentioned.
Let's see. Shane Thorne didn't get drafted, and Titus O'Neil didn't get drafted. Other than that,
Brock Lesnar injuries, didn't get drafted.
There were injuries, the reasons why you weren't drafted. Or you haven't been on TV for a while. That happened with Elias, and, you know, Eva was just taken out, so she didn't get drafted. But most of the people that didn't get drafted are injured. Asuka, Bayley, Lacey Evans, Maryse, she's not injured, but she hasn't been on the WWE for a while, so she didn't get drafted. But Titus O'Neil wasn't drafted. I don't know why that was.
Well, he hasn't been wrestling or on TV.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, I don't know, man. I just wish that they would make some changes with the draft, to be honest with you.
I don't know what kind of changes they can make to make it interesting at this point, but
like I said,
I'm over it. I'm already, like, because the draft almost doesn't make sense with people just show hop whenever they want anyway. Sasha Banks popped up on Raw. She's...
Well, they do that, you know, in draft season, I guess.
It's just... I mean, even when it wasn't draft season, they were doing that.
When did people just show hop when it wasn't draft season? I mean, you're not the tag team champions.
Big E, Money in the Bank, like...
Big E has a reason to be on both shows.
Anytime they wanted to attack somebody, they just popped up. Even after pay-per-views, people were just popping up.
I can't think of any time when people did not have a legitimate reason to be there.
It doesn't matter. They can feud with somebody. They can argue with somebody on Twitter, and they'll just pop up.
I must have missed that.
I'm over it. I'm over the draft. I'm over all of that.
Okay. But, one final thing that did happen that was a good thing in my opinion is McIntyre moving to SmackDown. I feel like Drew needed this change of pace.
He was starting to get jobbed out too.
Yeah, he was getting a little stale.
He hasn't won a match in a while. He's been losing the guys clean too. Damian Priest, Sheamus,
Yeah, but getting them big wins over Drew McIntyre, that does wonders, especially for Damian Priest.
He's starting not to.
Well, it does wonder for Damian Priest, because that's still a big win underneath his belt for the as the U.S. champion. But
that killed me this week, having Jeff Hardy hit my mans with the Swanton and still lose.
He got rolled up.
Bro, don't you do it.
That's what he did. He got rolled up.
Do it, bro. You gonna tell me that move puts away Edge and Triple H at the same time?
He got rolled up. You're the one always talking about the most devastating move. Come on, Art. You're the one that's always talking about that.
Because the roll-up pin is the most devastating.
Well, what's the problem here?
This wasn't... My guy was done for. You telling me that you get hit with the finisher and the roll-up still comes.
It was a shock. It was a sneak pin.
No, I don't want to hear it.
But anyway, I'm not done, though, because we still got a few more things to talk about.
You're making me done.
Well, what do you want from me? I'm trying to talk about things that are happening. Like the Drew McIntyre challenging Big E for the WWE title.
And still getting moved to SmackDown.
At the Crown Jewel. What the hell's up with that?
And still getting moved to SmackDown.
Like, Drew came, when he was drafted to SmackDown, Drew came and they said he's coming at Roman for the Universal title. But he's still going to challenge Big E for the WWE title at Crown Jewel. Why?
Because the draft doesn't take effect until after Crown
Jewel. You see, this is what I'm talking about when I say when they book something so and they already give away the ending.
Even when they're trying to do good because AEW is scaring them.
This is what I'm talking about.
They're panic booking.
This is what I'm talking about when they book things and they give away the ending.
Yeah, they're panic booking.
They
want Big E to have this huge match that's going to give him some type of credibility to his title run.
I get
but
that.
Drew McIntyre being moved to SmackDown right before that title match doesn't really give it the credibility it's supposed to.
Exactly.
If we wouldn't have known that he was moving.
Exactly, because now, like I said, it's like watching a movie you've already seen.
It's suspending the belief that he could actually win it.
Yeah, that's what it's doing.
Because if he does win it, what's he going to do? Take the title to SmackDown?
Highly doubtful.
And then what if he does win and then Roman Reigns wins? So we're going to have a unification?
I don't know.
I'd love that.
That I was talking about the triple threat earlier, and this isn't even really giving away the surprise ending. I don't even know what this is, because, like I said, what are they going to do with the titles now? Are they going to flip them, or are they going to...
So, Becky's the SmackDown champ, and if Sasha wins, the title goes back to SmackDown with her. If Bianca or Becky wins, then the title has to go to Raw with them.
And what happens with Her Majesty the Queen?
Well, the Queen's going to be champ through all of this, so you don't even have to worry
about if she does not get the SmackDown title, she isn't. She's got to give up the Raw title, or I don't give a damn who she is.
I mean, they moved her.
Exactly.
She's the champ.
And they got to take the Raw Women's title off of her.
So whoever gets the SmackDown title, just hand it to the Queen.
Like hell.
That's what you got to do.
Like hell. And Sasha Banks wins that SmackDown title.
She's the rightful champ anyway.
Yes, SmackDown Women's Champion.
Now you
champion.
Know
Sasha
you don't
want to
see that feud.
Oh, you just think it's going to end the same way. It's not.
It always
It's
does.
Not. Not this time. You're damn crazy the if you
Queen
think it's going down the same way it did back in 2016. Not happening. Not happening, and there are a few
what
reasons
makes
why.
You think it's going
to
be different?
Because there's no stupid pay-per-view undefeated streak to worry about this time, Art.
You're right. It's
That's
just
the big
the
thing.
Title reign.
That's the big thing. No stupid pay-per-view undefeated streak. Okay?
What
That's
else?
Out the window.
What else?
That's the only thing. That's the only reason why they're trading the title back and forth back in 2016.
Because
they got the stupid pay-per-view undefeated streak.
Or
yes,
is
it is.
Now, at first you were saying it's because they're just trying to buff Charlotte's numbers.
Well, they were doing that too.
Oh, stop it.
They were doing that too.
You and the privileged blue-haired ranger could beat it
like
Michael Jackson.
Ever. You and
That's
your
what
golden-haired... Whatever she is can beat it. That's what you can do.
You mean Wonder Woman's
half-daughter? Get the hell out of here, Art. I'm sick of it.
You mean Ric Flair and Wonder Woman had a baby and Charlotte Flair was born?
I can't wait for them to run into each other on SmackDown so she can get
so she can get
in the bank statement, Art, because that's what's
going to
happen
this
time.
Oh, you mean the figure eight?
No, I mean the bank statement.
Because nobody escapes the figure eight, and I mean no one.
Well, you're going to have a first one.
No one.
Yeah, you're going to have a first
There
one.
Hasn't been one person
Whatever.
To escape. Once that bridge hits, they all tap. All
you're
of them.
So annoying. She's so annoying. You're so annoying.
She's the greatest.
No, she isn't.
And so am I.
No, you're not.
Now, like I said the first time, tell them where to reach you.
Okay, fine. Matt Lindsay on Facebook. Matt Lindsay 677 on Instagram.
Our dog 1 on Instagram. Our dog 3 on Twitter. Since Twitter didn't go down and Facebook did.
We survived. We survived the Facebook and Instagram blackout that happened a few days ago.
I survived because I'm on Twitter.
I didn't think I was going to make it because I'm not on Twitter. I thought I was going to go down. I didn't have any social media.
And Arthur Quinn on Facebook. You can hit me on there when your stuff come back up.
I didn't have any social media. Right?
But
I
you can
I was
always
done.
Hit me up on Twitter at ArtDawg3, ArtDawg3. On Twitter, because I'm there too. And of course, the Sons of Legends, 21@gmail.com. And listen to us everywhere that you can.
Please.
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 This has been the Sons of Legends. Thank you guys, and we will be back with y'all next week.
Peace.